Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games, of an SMB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Justin Weinerhunter joins me at Talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions of the call ID is 17702, or you can participate on the web, just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you want to, also, we are co-broadcast on twit.tv. Just go to twit.tv/SFUOnCall and you will find it there. The stream should start somewhere between 9:30 and like 9:40, somewhere in that neighborhood. I usually start just a little bit later than 9:30. So if you get there at 9:30, please be patient. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, just go to sfuoncall there. Also, my personal account on Twitter is Paul Franz. It's PaulFranz. And warning, I talk about being Catholic and technology. And of course, my tertiary account is Franz Games, where I talk about Franz Games. Oh, shocker. FRNZGMES. And of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Steve Cole's busy finishing up a Call to Arms Starfleet book 2.2 and still doing some more art for that Volume Master Starship book. And Steve Petrick was still working on the text for the Master Starship book. And Gene working on both GURPS, Fetters, and Klingon, getting that all up to date. And, of course, she was busy proofreading the text from the Tholian Master Starship book and the Call to Arms Starfleet book 2.2. Moving on to the Be Online Tournament. Yes, the Sapphire Star Tournament 3. Signups are still open, but there's only 5 slots left. So, if you want in, you better hurry your butt. Yes, it's $10 to join, but the prize is money. And if you want to, they can give you the cash or I think it's double or triple on certain items within the actual Adobe store. And of course, the library, no progress this week, though Frank was busy updating and fixing the Gorn third generation ships there. Completely converted, still stays at 2,522. We yet to be converted at 799, leaving completed conversion at 75.94%. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one, the only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got Dave and we got Barry. How you doing, Barry?
Hey. I'm doing outstanding. And you?
Good. I'm doing good.
So I guess tonight's topic of discussion is the Batavai.
Yes, it is. I was doing a little reviewing of that and actually took a look-see at the tournament cruisers because we have the two different ones. We have yours and we have Ken's.
Yes. Well, actually, there's a third one, and that's the one in the SSD book is their Strike Cruiser, which is what the tournament cruiser was based on.
Right.
And looking at the Strike Cruiser in the SSD book, which is given a DPV of 155, which is what, in the ballpark?
Yeah, oh, that's the ballpark, yeah.
Yeah. It has one more bank box and one more medium 360 laser. Then these are the tournament cruisers.
Right. And that's one thing I noticed with your tournament cruiser versus the tournament cruiser that Ken did. There was just one minor difference that I saw, which was the number of mass drivers.
That is correct.
Ken has 5, you have 4.
Right. And I don't think I ever play tested the Batify. So I just looked at it and said, oh my God, 5 is too much. I don't know whether it's too much or not. That is just, what the heck?
My dear friend. You know how that is. Steve Patrick learned his lesson on making changes without playtesting, and you know, you should at least be playtested a bit. Now, if I recall correctly, the mass drivers only require the activation energy; don't require any energy after that.
Well, for the tournament cruiser portion of it, since there's no reloads. You only need to activate it after you reload it.
Right.
So if your weapon status 3, which is a tournament cruiser, basically it needs no power. So right. Treat it like a drone rack in that sense.
Right. But so in the tournament cruiser, in the tournament, the master drivers actually have reloads? Or not?
No, they
don't. Okay. I was concerned
they
there
do
for
not
a moment.
Have reloads.
But you were talking, it sounded like that they do have reloads. Like, I'd be concerned.
No, they don't have reloads, therefore you never need to activate them.
Right. Yeah, I noticed they have the 3 charged particle accelerators, which are interesting, to say the very least.
2 of them are the CPA-2s, and 1 is a CPA-3.
Right. And the one thing which I thought was kind of important, given the CPAs require warp energy, which is how much warp power it has, and has 33 boxes of warp power. So that definitely helps things.
31 warp and then 2 auxiliary warp.
Mm-hmm.
The 33 warp energy, which is nice.
Right. Oh, it's kind of required. Given that if you're charging all 3, which is, most of the time, that's going to be 7 points of energy just for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So
and 9 points of energy.
Excuse me?
9 points of energy.
No,
for
7.
Well, for all 3, you're using 9 points
no,
of
you're
energy.
Using, oh, you're using 9. I forget. They're 2 turn, not 2 energy. Yeah, so it's be 9. So 9 minus 33 is 24. So you only have 24 points of warp power after that. So a total of obviously 30 points of power after that.
Right. That ship's maximum number of hexes it can move in a turn is 25 hexes. Which, it's not bad. The firing arcs are actually very, very generous.
Both very generous? I'm sorry. I got distracted there for a moment.
The firing arcs. The firing arcs of these weapons are incredible.
Oh, agreed. With the CPA-3 being forward half, and the two CPA-2s also basically being 180 degrees, you know, front plus left and front arc plus rear plus right. So you got 180 degrees for all 3 of them, which is quite nice overall. Which means that you can in theory fight out your shield number 2 and shield number 6, which is
easily.
Which is, and then of course the mass drivers again, they're also 180 degrees.
And the medium lasers are even better.
Yeah, 4 extended and 360. So overall, this ship is really, really well armed. So it can fire out of shield number one, two, or six, and it should be good. And of course, given that you've got the left arc and the right arc for the CPA twos, and of course the extended arc for the medium lasers, if you're running away from your enemy, you still have a way of defending yourself if you get stuck in that situation.
Correct. And a CPA 2 is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that can it's every bit of an overloaded disruptor.
Right,
Now,
a range six, it's 12 points of damage. A
now,
range
having
nine.
said that, though, what's
Yes,
that?
it's two turns of arming. So.
Yes. So there's a lot more energy that you put into
Right.
it.
So it's almost like a photon when it comes to damage per energy. Because it's about right, because at the very least from four to six, because of four to because for 6 points of warp energy for a photon, it would do 12 points of damage.
Correct. And at range three, it's actually a little more accurate than a photon.
Right, exactly.
Now the CPA 2 doesn't max out where a photon does.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
Now the CPA 3, on the other hand, oh my, that's just over the top.
Oh.
And it gets more efficient the more turns you arm it with, which is kind of interesting. So it means that, unlike a photon, it's like, oh, I need to fire it again quickly. I can still do that, but it's not going to hit that
Right.
hard. But it will hit.
Oh, agreed, agreed. The amount of damage, increased in damage, given the number of turns of arming, is definitely, it is not a linear progression. It's more of a curve, of a upward curve, you know.
Yeah, well, actually, if you look at the damage charts,
Right. Well, one
say at
turn.
the four to six range,
Right. 4 to 6 range, it goes
going
from
from one,
five,
but five, then
five to
you add
12, which is
seven,
seven.
then you add nine.
Right. As I said, it's not a linear progression. It's more of a curved progression going upward.
Right.
So, it's slightly upward, but it's still upward.
Each level you add 5 points of damage going from a one to a two turn, and 7 points of damage going from a two turn to a three turn, seven or eight, no, seven, eight or nine.
And I think one of the important points of this weapon for me is that it's based on the number of turns you've armed it. So,
Yes.
if you wanted to, you could keep on firing your CPA 3 as a CPA 2
Or one.
or one. Yeah, if you wanted to fire every single turn, you can do that, which is basically,
Yes.
it gives you that flexibility. And there's no cooldown that says, okay, after you fire, you have to wait like a turn before you can fire it again. Which
Correct.
it's a great benefit. Now, obviously, the downside, which we both have talked about in the past, not on here, but when we're talking, and that is, of course, that it has no hold. You can't hold. It's all rolling delay.
Correct.
So,
On the other hand, there's no overload range. You can fire it out to range 27 at any, right, no matter how many turns you armed it with.
Right. There's no overload function, which then requires you that there's a maximum range to firing that weapon or firing the CPAs in this case. Yeah. That, which is again, a great benefit.
Right.
So it definitely gives the CPA a nice bit of flexibility when it comes to turns and arming. Because what that means is that if you want to, if you think about it, it really does give you quite a bit of flexibility when it comes to Zen Tester, you're looking at SFB at its finest, in this case, the LMC, Lesser Magellanic Cloud Empire. So we're talking about tournament cruiser in this case, but in general, we're still talking about that empire itself and how the technologies work. So if you know SFB, this goes along with that perfectly. If you only know Star Trek, this is kind of going, okay, this is weird. So I just want to respond to one of our viewers on Twitch. Always good to see people on Twitch. And yes, for just a reminder, yes, we do co-broadcast both on TalkShoe and on Twitch. Obviously, the one thing that's better on Twitch is that you actually have a video of it. In this case, I'm usually doing a screencast, and I got a little window of my lovely face. And I'm hoping I don't break your screens. But anyhow, getting back to the Baduve, when it comes to the Terma Cruiser or any cruiser, you know, overall, the benefit of it is that you can do one of two things. Because of the flexibilities of the CPA, it gives you flexibility on your attack strategy. You can, if you want to, you can keep pressing hard against your opponent every single turn, especially if your opponent has multi-turn arming weapons. That gives you even better flexibility because you can keep dogging him while he's still charging if you want to do that, or if you want to ease off a little bit and feel like you need to save up a little bit for a bigger punch, you can do that too. Obviously, in my opinion, if you're firing against a multi-turn arming empire, that it would probably behoove you to only go for one turn arming and keep the pressure on if you can do that. Obviously, the big thing always is seeking weapons. Seeking weapons, you know, i.e. mobile terrain, given that they're strong enough of a seeking weapon to require you to turn away from your opponent and, you know, run away and possibly decrease it or do whatever you need to do to get rid of it or decrease the amount of damage that you're going to take from it, then, you know, two-turn arming would be fine, or even three-turn if required to. So, you know, that's one of the great things that the way CPA works. And of course, since the mass drivers themselves are, I was going to say single turn arming weapon, but they're not. They are basically free weapons. They're like drones. And
yeah, the mass drivers hit on the same impulse that they fire.
Right. But the point is zero cost when it comes to energy.
Right.
That was the important thing I was trying to make. Now, obviously, your medium and light lasers, those are a different hand. Those require you to charge the bank and make sure that you have it in your bank to actually fire those lasers.
Correct. The mass drivers, in addition to being zero energy cost, They do give your opponent a chance to shoot at them before they hit.
Correct.
And they can be wild weaseled, they can be tractored, you can launch drones at them, you can all sorts of things you can use to stop a mass driver. And if they do hit, they really don't do that much damage.
Mm-hmm.
Although, the one with five mass drivers could potentially do 25 points of damage if they all hit.
Yeah. Operative word, if they all hit.
Right. But they're easier to kill. Well, not so much easier to kill than a drone. They only take 3 points of damage, but you have to shoot at them at range two.
True. True. So they would require, in LMC terms, a medium laser. Because I forget, do most of the LMC use lasers? I mean, they'll have some alternate, quote-unquote, phaser replacement.
Yeah, the lasers are actually very good against mass drivers. The light lasers, the range table is 1 to 2. And you have to roll a 1 through 5. So you have better. Yeah.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah. So yeah. The medium laser is an automatic kill for a mass driver. The light laser, well, no. A phaser 3 versus a drone, it's a.
Same thing. Range 1.
Range 1. One, but
1 to 5.
1 through 4. Oh,
sure.
1 to 4 for a phaser 3.
Okay. Oh, it must be misremembering then. This is wrong ones to look at. Okay. It's about to look at the Omegas. It's like, no, looking at the Omegas really doesn't help. I need a regular chart. I don't have one right now available to me. Because I thought I could have sworn it was 1 to 5, but I'm willing to take your what you said is true, and I'm just remembering incorrectly. So
let's take a look, Steve. Oh, here's a T-12.
So, so 33 minus 9 is 24. So that you're basically going to be maximum of 24 movement throughout the turn. So... that's not too bad of a speed overall.
I'm looking at a standard P3. Yeah, it is range 1. It's 4-4-4-4-4-4-4 and then 3-3. So yeah,
okay.
1 through 4 takes it out.
Okay. So now, light lasers are better against mass drivers. Okay.
A P3 at range 2.
Yeah, that's a 4-4-4-3-2-1.
Kills right. So again, it's the same odds. For a P3 has the same odds against a mass driver as it does against a regular drone.
Right, right. And I wasn't more concerned about that. I was more thinking about along the lines that a mass driver, which you have to hit at range 2, is the same as you need. In the alpha that you fire at a drone at range 1, that it was going to be the same to hit with a phaser 3 to a drone at phase at range 1, because you actually have the ability at range 1 to hit it. But I was wrong. I was basically thinking it was comparable. So,
but as, now another thing is that I think mass drivers launch before labs.
Right.
Which means you can lab them before they hit. And the reason that's important is because if you launch, there's a armored version of it.
No. Because,
Well, I shouldn't say
well,
armored. There's
no, the reason I say this, because I'm looking at the rules right now. It says mass drivers and missiles are launched in step 6B4 on the sequence of play just prior to tractor beam use. And I know
Oh.
that tractor beams are after IDing, I think. No, they're before IDing, aren't they? Right, they're,
Yeah.
you're right, you're right. That you actually can ID the mass driver. Yep, you're right.
Right,
You are
which
right.
is important because there's different varieties of them.
Right.
And there is a KSM, and let's see, Ken Burnside's version has three of the KSMs. And the KSM only does 3 points of damage if it hits, but it takes five to take it out.
Right.
So.
And only does 3 points of damage to your target. Yeah.
Right,
But
which is an interesting trade-off. But their KSMs only take one slot in the rack,
right.
so it's a trade-off. In some ways, I think it's better than a heavy drone. A heavy drone obviously does double damage. KSM actually does less damage, but it's harder to kill.
Yep.
But Ken, I think, was going, when he designed these, he said, I'm going to build a missile that if it hits, it's like, not a big deal, but at the same time, it's more likely to hit.
Yeah, well, the important thing here is that since the lasers are pretty much the go-to phaser type weapon of the LMC, having some kinetic, some KSMs, kinetic slug missiles, messes up any defensive reasoning because you might want to just fire light lasers and you take your chance when it comes to anti-ships. But still, 5 points of damage versus three. But, you got a 5-6 chance of killing it with a light laser.
Yeah.
So, but if it's a KSM, all of a sudden it's going to hit you with the damage which you don't want.
Right.
Now, obviously,
Next.
when it comes to anti-ship, if you're firing a light laser at an anti-ship missile and a range, the range two, which means you have 5-6 chance, that means you're willing to take a chance that it won't kill it.
Right.
Now,
Now, one thing about mass drivers is that you can fire them at less than range two. And that does two things. First of all, your opponent has a chance to shoot at it at a closer range, which for LMC ships doesn't matter. But for Galactics, it makes them easy kills.
right.
But they actually have to roll to hit if you fire them at less than range two.
Right. And also another thing with ASM versus KSM, and that is that with a KSM, you with medium lasers, you've got 50% chance of killing it with a medium laser.
Yeah.
Versus it's an auto kill with an ASM. So again, it's a good thing for messing up the defenses of your opponent.
Right. Now, this ship also has TPMs or AFMs. And those are kind of interesting because they do less damage, but they can slip a point or two of damage through shields.
Oh, yeah, the CPMs, yeah.
Yeah. And the AFMs are actually designed to be used against fighters.
Right.
Shuttles.
Mm-hmm. The CPM does 1 point of damage to a shield and two internals. Wow. Right, if it's down. A down shield, or it's a shuttle or a fighter, it just 3 points of damage. Okay.
Right.
I was talking about the cloak, if firing a cloak target, the reduction in damage, an internal. You still do the G13.37, and the internal damage is reduced first, which makes sense.
Right. I mean, because of the mechanics, the way the mass driver, hang on a sec, sorry. Made the mistake of opening up a bag of nuts.
Yeah.
All right. One of the interesting things about the mechanics of the mass drivers is the way they go to range two, you might have some minimal control over what shield it hits.
Right.
And then with the CPMs, it's like, oh, there's a down shield. Well, I can use the ASMs. They're more powerful. Or I'm up against a shield that's intact, I can use CPMs, and they cannot be ignored because they go right through. They damage. They do internals through shields. Although I think general reinforcement stops them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the CPMs, they actually do the 1 point against the outer shields and 2 points against the inner shields. But galactic ships only have one layer of shields. But I think general reinforcement is considered a separate layer. So if there's CPMs in the mix, I think you can raise some general reinforcement. And I think that
They have a whole for multi-layer shield system. You have to look at MD2.216 to actually see how it all interacts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's look at that again. MD2. Okay. I'm looking at the wrong thing. I was looking at ME2.216. It's like, wait a minute, there's no ME2.216.
Let's see.
Okay, Spearfist and Charge. Okay. Ignore the outer layer shielding on Magellanic vessels. Their shield damage is applied to the inner layer of the shielding, and any internal damage score resolved normally. So, okay. So CPMs don't even look at the inner shields. Well, wait a minute. Only look at the inner shields. They ignore the outer shields. Sorry.
Right. Let's see. But let's see where else. Uh, was something about defense.
Okay.
Oh, there was something in there.
Only one shuttle bay. Only two transporters.
I remember seeing something.
Wow. Good bit of control boxes. What? Got six control space. The but Battle Bay has six control spaces. Two bridge, two flag, two emergency. Yep.
Now another thing to keep in mind is that there are seven heavy torpedo weapons on that ship.
Right.
Each CT-8 box counts as one. That ship can take four torpedo hits and still have three CP-8s to use.
Right. And that's another one of the benefits of the CPA, which is it is a multi-box weapon. And it slowly gets reduced the capabilities as you destroy boxes on the CPA.
Correct.
Because the number of boxes, just for those who don't know the rules, the number of boxes define how many turns of arming you can actually arm a CPA. So if you start with two and one of your boxes is destroyed, now it becomes a single turn arming weapon. You only can put one turn towards it and then have to do rolling delay on that single turn. Each box is considered a box of repair. So in theory, you could spend half your repair boxes that you're given for CDR on a single CPA. So if you got one CPA destroyed, you know, have both boxes are gone, then you have that requires two damage to get up to full strength.
Oh, here's an interesting thing. Okay, so the CPM missiles ignore the outer layer of shielding.
Right.
The shield damage is applied to the inner layer of shielding, and any internal damage score is resolved normally. Because they do not damage the outer layer, they are not reduced by the VRF of that shield.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing. I did not mention about the. It's not affected by the VRF.
Yeah,
which makes it interesting. Fortunately, you only can have five of those.
Right. Or if in Ken's ship, he had 10.
He had 10?
In Ken's variant, he had 10. Which I thought was excessive.
Right, up to 10, yeah. So.
Right.
Is that considered? I'm not sure. Because of its requirement that 10 of them be ASM. Okay, yours makes no sense.
Well, mine says 16 has to be ASM. Ken said 20 has to be ASM.
Right. You're saying, yeah, yours is more requirement that you have to use KSM. You have three KSM. You have 16
right.
ASM, and then you have
right. Five can be CPM or AFM.
Right. Which I assume means you can have like three CPM and two AFM if you wanted.
Three CPM and two AFM, yeah, if you wanted to. Yeah.
Right. Just want to make sure I was understanding what that meant.
Oh, here it is. No, this is on. This is. I don't think general reinforcement does anything weird. I don't know what effect general reinforcement has on CPMs. It doesn't really say.
Okay.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Understood. Well, general reinforcement, can that be applied to inner shields? That's the question.
What, you cannot reinforce an inner shield.
Okay. In which case, that almost seems to indicate that general reinforcement cannot be applied. Excuse me.
Well, yeah, and it ignores outer shields, so you cannot use reinforcement from against it for a non-Magellanic. But a galactic ship, the CPM does 1 point of damage to a shield or PA pound, 2 points of internal damage. If it hits a down shield, shell fighter, CPM will do 3 points. Fire the cloaking target, the internal damage is reduced first. For interactions with the Magellanic multi-layer shields, being da-da-da-da-da-da, but it doesn't say what for yeah, CPMs would be nasty versus the Andromedans.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
1 point in the PA panels and then two internals. Hoy.
What's that?
1 point of damage to the PA panels, you know, absorbed, which means okay, there's no degradation. And though obviously if you fired if you got hit with three of them at one time, then you actually would get a degradation because it's 3 points. But then you get, if you hit with three of them, then you also would get six internals. And that's just nuts against the Andromedan. At least when it comes to the tournament cruiser.
Yeah.
That's something I always want to look at. I did not look at when it comes to mass drivers, when it comes to normal usage. And that is, what are the racial limits on the different kinds of mass drivers?
I'm not sure.
Same here. I didn't look in to see if there is any, because of here's the reason why I asked this, and that is mainly because of, if we think outside the context of the tournament, if the Baduve, if there's no penalty for putting CPMs. I mean, let me look, see what year did they create them? Yeah. Back in Y116. If there was no limit for CPMs on the Baduve, when the Andromedans came in, what's stopping them from just having filling their ships with CPMs?
Right, right.
I would think they would be able to fight off the Andromedans quite effectively by doing that.
Yes.
That's why I'm wondering about, is there racial limitations on it? Because, you know, because usually there's limitations put on certain kinds of drones and so forth. It's because they're not cheap. You know, there's an economic cost. And that's usually why, right, like specialized drones, you only can have so many specialized drones is because of, well, one, you don't know what you're going to encounter out there. My assumption, now this is a big assumption, I have not actually read the history, and I'm not sure if you have either, which is when they basically invaded the LMC, that a lot of the internal fighting of the empires themselves, maybe not completely ceased, but at the very least they went, we got a bigger fish to fry. We're gonna get our butts kicked.
Right.
You know, we're getting our butts kicked by these invaders, and what do we do about it, you know? So so in this case, you know, when it comes to the Baduve and Magadim, they would change their production to focus on CPMs, which would be a heck of a lot more effective damage.
Oh yeah.
Than anything else.
Right. Let's see. Year in service for the CPM is 116 for the Batavai and 100 for the Magadim.
Yep.
So they got them pretty early on.
Exactly. That's why I'm wondering.
KSMs are actually developed
that's
late.
Fighter restrictions. Okay. Loadouts. Any ship can have a complete loadout of ASM.
Well, actually, the AFM was the last one developed.
Yeah, there it is. The can take no more than 33% their loadout as special warhead types. There it is. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, give an example. A refitted Baduve strike cruiser has a total of 5 Class 2 mass drivers for 30 spaces of missiles. Because of that, 30%, 10 of those missiles may be any mixture of ASM, AFM, CPMs, KSMs, GBMs, and DGMs. The remaining 66%, 20 of the missiles must be ASMs. So there's your racial limitations.
So. Right. So the Batavai have they're kind of like Kazuki's. They have a higher percentage of specials.
Right. Right. But. Yeah, but the point is that they did have a limitation on how many of the CPMs they actually could have on a ship at any time.
Correct. Correct.
Which I'm assuming is, they don't say, but I'm sure it's related to cost and how quickly they can actually be produced.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, significant difference between the strike cruiser and a tournament cruiser, and it may not be immediately obvious, but the strike cruiser includes one more medium laser. And if you look, each bank box holds 4 power. So the tournament cruiser has 2 bank boxes. It holds 8 power. And it only has and that 2 8 points of power is enough to fire every laser on the ship once. but just barely. But adding one more medium laser increases it to 9 points of power needed to fire every laser on the ship. That's why they need the third bank box. Now, the third bank box is a huge advantage because it gives you a capacitor that is that can hold 3 points of power more than all the lasers require, which right. does two things. If you don't, it means that you can fire all your lasers, and then on the following turn, you don't have to charge everything. You still have some power left in your capacitors.
Right, i.e., you can do what I proposed earlier, which is keep the pressure up and keep on attacking each turn instead of having to fall back right. and recharge or slow down.
The other advantage of a bank box is that because it's the best laser on the ship, every third weapon, every third phaser hit has to go against the bank box. And Boy. With only two bank boxes, yeah. You know, so you took three phaser hits. You took, say you lost two light lasers and a bank box. All of a sudden,
dang,
you may have lasers left, but you won't be able to fire them all because you don't have the capacitor. You might be able to fire them all, but not all in one impulse.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fire, recharge the remaining bank box from the batteries, and then fire again.
Right. So it'll take you two turns. Because it takes you
two
one
impulses.
Turn. Well, it'll take you two turns. Also, if you lose a bank box, it will take you two turns to recharge that bank box because you first have to repair it, and then the turn after that, you actually can use it.
Correct. Correct. You have to repair it, and then are the repairs at the end of the turn?
Yep.
Okay. So you basically, at the end of the turn, so it gets destroyed. The following turn, you do a repair, and so then the following turn after that, you have it available. So it's a long time before you have that extra bank box.
Right.
Better not take a second bank box. Because that ship, if it loses, it has five medium lasers and six light lasers. Total 11 lasers, but if it takes six laser hits, it can't fire any lasers.
Yep.
Even though it's got plenty of lasers still left.
Yeah, but of course, but yeah, all it takes is two volleys is all it takes. Two decent volleys.
Two volleys and you're. Yeah, so that's its Achilles heel there.
Yep. Oy. So that's the big difference between the
no.
Okay.
It does have.
It was just one medium laser was the difference between the normal strike cruiser and the tournament cruiser.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, having said that, it does have both the mass drivers, which get in drone hits, and all those CPAs which get hit on torp hits, that they do provide some protection from your lasers.
That is true. To get through to that takes a heck of a lot of damage. Because, you have the two of them that are exposed on the first, or column A, mm-hmm. 4 and 10, and then 11 and 3 are protected by the drone and the heavy weapon. So to get three phaser hits, you have to hit either two threes or two 11s in that volley, which is pretty hard to do.
Yeah. Now, unless it's a big volley. Now, having
right.
said that, is that rule apply to per volley or just the third one
it's
total?
It's per volley. It's the heavy weapons, which are total.
The heavy weapons are what?
Total. The third weapon, third heavy weapon that you damage must be your best heavy weapon. Period.
Okay.
While phasers, it's per volley. The third phaser in that volley must be your best phaser. So, when it comes, fortunately, because of the number of drone hits and torpedo hits for this ship, you don't have to worry about basically a Mizzia attack killing your ability to fire your lasers.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because getting that third is really hard to do. Probabilistically speaking, you know.
Right.
Because the whole idea of Mizzia attack is small volleys.
Yeah, with the other ships, the Magadia and the Leonine, where you have almost excess bank boxes, and since banks are really cheap in terms of repair points to repair, there's a tendency to say, you know, I'll voluntarily take a bank box first just because it's doesn't cut down on my offensive potential or defensive potential.
Agreed, but I would be really hesitant to do that because of that decreases your battery capacity, i.e. the ability to keep firing when you and put that energy that would normally be put into a bank, have that available to do other things like move or charge your heavy weapons. You know.
Well, I know what you're saying, but let's say that I have a bank box which I've already emptied out. So it doesn't have any power. Obviously, a charged bank box is something I want to protect, but a completely drained one, and I would want to drain boxes entirely before I go to the next box. Just so that, I took a lot of a big volley coming in. I have to take a bank box, take an empty one. But that gives you almost a with the Magadium and the Anine, you effectively have a free laser hit.
Under
this one really
right. Oh, I understood that. If you want to save your lasers more, yeah, you can do that. And just that I would be really hesitant to get rid of my banks. Yes, later on in the game, when you're down lasers, yes, it's a nice option to eliminate a bank instead of a laser. So you still have the laser available to you to fire. But early on in the process, no, that first volley where you have to have the after you got rid of the first like three lasers, maybe after that first round, I'd do it, but no, if as like a first internal, I mean, when it comes to first laser hit, I would say no.
Yeah. Now, remember that you can always... Oh, crap, I lost the bank box. I have all these lasers on my ship, but I don't have sufficient bank boxes to fire them all. And it's very easy for the Batavai to be in that position. But what you could do is you could fire 4 points of power through your lasers, and the following impulse, recharge the bank from a battery, and then fire more lasers.
Oh, understood. You could do that, but invariably, the thing is, when you're in that situation, no. That battery would probably be used for reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, the one bad side about banks is that unlike phasor capacitors, you can't fire them directly from batteries. You have to first impulse one or impulse N, you must charge your banks. Impulse N plus one, mm-hmm. you can fire from those banks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And,
I don't know.
And that delay causes issues overall, because you might miss mm-hmm. the opportunity, because within from one point impulse to the next impulse, your opponent could easily make a turn, you know, change phase, yeah. or you might be going too fast, and all of a sudden that weapon that you wanted to fire now is out of arc.
Yeah.
But okay, well, not bad. The ship's a turn mode C, which is good to see.
Yeah,
I get tired of turn mode Ds.
Which is average.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's an average turn mode, but it's got really good firing arcs, so that makes it.
Oh, agreed. As we pointed out at the beginning, you know, because of those arcs, it can fire out number 1, 2, and 6. Respectively, mm-hmm. and not have the issue, you know, that's something like, was it 2 weeks ago, the Meganium? That,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that had the problem, but basically.
No, it was an Anine. Meganium was before that.
Yeah, the Anine. Didn't they have problems that, if you lose your shield number one, you're in deep trouble?
Actually, the Magadium?
Mm-hmm. Well, Magadium.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You know, and this one, the Banduve, it definitely seems like it should be able to hold up quite well in combat. Now.
Yes, it can fight out of 1, 2, or 6.
The key part, of course, is the amount of power caused by the CPAs.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
because you've got guaranteed 13 points of power being used every single turn.
13.
Oh, well, four for housekeeping.
Well, this is a place where the LMC has an advantage in that you don't have to put 1 point of power into fire control. You could put a half a point in and just use.
Oh yeah.
And just power up the forward arrays.
That is true. That
so
is true.
So there's some savings. And you don't have to. And unlike a galactic ship, it's a legitimate strategy to just power the outers or just power the inners.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike a galactic ship where minimum shields are 5 points, and can you use reinforcement on minimum shields?
Yeah, you can use reinforcement with minimum shields. It's just that minimum shields, which is 1 point of power versus two, is the first 5 boxes of the shield. So if you have like 5 boxes of shield gone from one of your shields, that is your minimum shield gone.
So yes, your down shield that's a down shield on minimums.
Right.
Right. Whereas any of the LMCs, you could power, say, the outers oh, the outers are pretty ragged now. Okay. Turn off the outers, power up the inners.
Right.
Again, 1 point of power.
Right. You can doing that, you can save a whole point of power between the two.
Yeah. And running on if I'm at a distance, it's like, I'll use the outers and they will probably be able to soak up any volume. Now, if I start to get close, it's like, yeah, better battery up one of the inners too.
Right. Agreed. But still,
if I don't think I'm going to be close.
Right. Oh, understood. But still, it's only 1 point of power. So minimum housekeeping.
But that is a point of power. Oh, that adds up.
Understood. Understood. I understand that. But still, the point is that it's only 1 point of power. That means, okay, so instead of four housekeeping, it's three housekeeping, which means a minimum of 12 points of power required to keep your CPAs charged and ready to fire and keep your ship running. Because you have to have shields up and you have to have fire control.
And of that power, 9 points of it has to be warp power.
Right. That's the gotcha. Now, fortunately, it has two AWRs, which does help, but still.
And it has 31 warp.
Right. So it has fast warp, which is, I would say it's weird, but this is the Baduve who need warp. So it's not that weird for them.
Yeah.
It's
especially since with rolling delay and the fact that the weapon needs warp power, it's like, ah!
Right, right. I.e., there's no holding.
Even a Fed can hold photons on non-warp.
Right, right. Exactly. And definitely does it when it can. That's one of those things that's always been weird to me when it comes to the Federation photons and flying a Federation of. I've only done it maybe once. I rarely fly the Federation because of the, after you fire the first volley of photons, that second volley of photons is not an easy thing to do because they take a lot of freaking power.
Yes.
You can't fully overload all four at one time because that's 16 points of power for one turn.
Mm-hmm.
So
for two turns.
Yeah. So you go, I think the Federation has 38 points of power. If you take away 16 of it, that leaves you 22. And then, of course, you have the four housekeeping. So 20 of it goes away. And of course, 16 of that is warp power. So you're not moving very fast if you're fully overloading your photons.
No, you're not.
So invariably, what you have to do is you have to do it in a step basis. You can maybe overload two of them, and the other two are standards, or not even charging the two, you know, or just charging all four as standards, which makes a lot of sense. And then given the option, use like reserve warp to overload some photons later on.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting fully overloaded photons for the second time in a game is not an easy task.
No.
Versus a Klingon.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but I am like ready to fall asleep here.
That's fine. It's about time to shut this thing down anyway. So anyway, Barry, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Same here.
Okay.
Same here.
You have a good night.
Yeah.
Okay.
You too. Bye.
So, and we didn't talk about what the next empire we were going to discuss. Probably another LMC, because actually LMCs are quite interesting. And as pointed out, you know, in this one with the Balduve, it's a neat system. Obviously, the big issue for me is this right here, which is the two banks. The two banks so easily can be gone. Now, obviously, fortunately, it takes a really big volley to have a chance, especially given you have the drone hits up here and then you got the torpedo hits down here. So to get that third phaser takes some luck and a relatively large volley. In theory, if the dice gods are truly with you, that given four internals, all you need is four internals, you can have one of your banks destroyed. But how likely is that to occur? Not very likely, that means rolling like 3-3-4-10 or 4-4-10-11-11. That is not an easy task, my friend. So overall, you know, it's a less likely thing to happen, fortunately. That's the good thing. Now, I totally disagree that you ever want to have your banks destroyed at all. You know, there are, you know, when you are losing a lot of your lasers, then yeah, in that case, I see that you want to take a bank hit instead of a laser hit, which is one of those benefits versus a phaser. That, you know, when it comes to the phaser and the capacitors, in that you can take a damage on a weapon hit, which won't actually directly destroy a weapon. It will make it maybe that so that you can't fire that weapon, but, you know, it's a easily repaired, and you can bring it back online. Take, obviously, as I said, it takes two turns. Because one the repair, one now you can't use it until the one after that. So, but overall, you know, I think this is a very good ship. Actually, I would really like to see if I can get someone to play online, which would be, I think, quite cool to get done. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.